Morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. We are learning today Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Chav Ches, the 28th and second last chapter in the book of Divrei Hayomim 1. This perek has 21 psukim, so it is shorter than the previous psukim. And it now is the convocation. It is the last gathering that David HaMelech has before his death, in which he initiates publicly, coronates Shlomo HaMelech publicly. In fact, Perek Chav Ches and Chav Tes are to be read back to back as we close Divrei Hayomim Aleph with the conclusion and coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. It is a very powerful, it is a very moving moment. This is something which we should just do chazara of, we should review from time to time just to appreciate the grandiose of this situation, this moment in Jewish history. First we hear about the Pasuk Aleph, about David HaMelech gathering everybody in Jerusalem. He gathers the Sarei HaShvatim, the princes of the tribes, the Sarei HaMachlakos, those who are in charge of all the divisions, all the different sections that are serving the Beis HaMikdash. And we hear about the Sarei HaAlafim, Sarei HaMeor, Sarei Kol Rechush Mikneh LaMelech, all his officers in charge of his different stations, whether it be in terms of judgment or his financial situations, all the Giborim, everybody's gathering to Jerusalem. So Malbim points out, because you see all these mentioned, it must be chronological, meaning after the last number of chapters where we've heard David HaMelech set up all these people and who they were and how many people they had under them and what their names were and when they were in service. So now we have David HaMelech pulling them all together. So after David HaMelech has set up the entire system, that's when we hear the system coming into place. The Abba now points out that if we read this in conjunction with Melachim Aleph, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, you will notice that they can be read to supplement one another, to in the sense that in Melachim Aleph, all we hear about is an attempted coup at the hands of Adoniah, one of the sons of David HaMelech, who attempts to take power during the life, the waning years of David HaMelech, and David HaMelech ousts him by publicly coronating Shlomo. However, Abba now points out that was coronation number one, but that was a local coronation done under pressure in the presence of the people of Yerushalayim at the spring. However, this in Divrei Hayomim over here is a second coronation, which is much larger, with pomp and circumstance in front of all of Israel. So this is the second and more public coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. That's how we should be reading this. So what actually goes on at this event? From Sukkim Beis to Yud, we hear about David HaMelech asserting that Shlomo is king. We're told, Vayokom David HaMelech al raglov, he gets up on his feet, and he turns to all the people standing there, and he calls out to them, he said, I wanted so much to build a place of resting for the Ark of the Covenant, and as a place, l'hadom raglei Elokeinu, to be the footstool to Hashem in this world. That's sort of the perspective. This is a very lowly place, but that we can make as the footstool for Hashem. However, Hashem told me, I can't build it because I'm a man of war, and he told me that I spilled a lot of blood. So therefore, he describes how I was chosen through the tribe of Yehuda, through Judah, and all my house was chosen from among that tribe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ultimately choose Shlomo, my son, to sit on my throne, even though I have many children. Ki rabim bonim nosan li Hashem. I have many sons, but he will be the one. And he goes on to say that Shlomo Melech will be the one who is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem will be to him as a father. And Hashem promised that he would guard Shlomo and keep his legacy if he follows all the statutes, all the laws of the Torah. And he now tells and he gives that warning to him, and he says to Shlomo, Ata Shlomo Bani, Da es Elokei Avicha, know the God of your father, V'ovdeu Belev Shalem, and serve him with a full heart, uvenefesh chafetz, and with a willing spirit. Ki cholov avoyz doresh Hashem, uchol yetzemach shavoyz mevien im tidrusheni imotze loch, vim tazenu, yaznichachocha lo'ad. If you go after him, he will be there with you. If you abandon him, he will eternally abandon you. And now, you have been chosen to build the Beis HaMikdash. Be strong and go ahead and do it. Very powerful speech. Dual audience. Part of it is speaking to the nation of Israel, and part of it is speaking to his son. Now, just that metaphor or that description at the beginning of David HaMelech getting up on his feet. Why do we need to know this speech is made on David HaMelech's feet? So Radak points out this is the end of David HaMelech's days. He is weak, but nonetheless, he overcomes his weakness, his frailty, and stands up because this is such an important moment. The Chidah points out that perhaps Kabbalistically speaking, it is also a metaphor for the fact that David HaMelech was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he did build the foundations. Meaning, when it says, Vayakem David HaMelech al raglav, it meant not he getting up on his feet, but rather him establishing the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, which is ultimately why the Beis HaMikdash itself may have been destroyed, but the foundations were never fully destroyed because David HaMelech created them and the building of David was never fully destroyed. That's what the Chidah points out as well. It is interesting that David HaMelech emphasizes that he has many sons, yet Shlomo is the one who becomes the legacy bearer. Why is that? So hidden, says the Mitzvot David, embedded in here is the innuendo to say that I was also given atonement for the sin of Bat Sheva, because the son of Bat Sheva, which is Shlomo HaMelech, is going to be the king, even though I have many other sons. So that's also what's being hinted to here. What's the main thrust of this speech? Rashi points out this is like V'atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem speech, in Parashas Nitzavim, where Moshe, just before his death, gathers all of Israel and gives them the laws and sets out the conditions. The same kind of thing is happening over here. And the Ralbag points out that that may be true to the nation, but there's also the charge publicly to Shlomo HaMelech. Which leads us to the next section, a remarkable section, is Perak Yud Aleph to Yud Tes, where we hear now about David HaMelech giving the instructions to the Beis HaMikdash and the Kelim to Shlomo, and it's given to him in writing. We hear how he's given Es Tavnis HaUlam, the actual structure of the Ulam, which is one of the three parts of the Beis HaMikdash, and all its rooms and its attics and the kapo, all the different areas. Tavnis Kol Asher Hoya Beruach Imoy, everything that was in the spirit with him. And it goes on to describe the structure, the footprint of the Beis HaMikdash, all the Kohanim and the Levim and their service, and all the gold and the silver and everything necessary, and the weight necessary for the menorahs and all the different pieces. David HaMelech gives that all over with the plans. Hakol Bichsa, everything was written down. All the work was written down explicitly and given to Shlomo. We don't hear about this in Sefer Shmuel or Dere Yamim Melachim at all. It's only in Dere Yamim where we hear that Shlomo Melech was commanded all this. So you ought to ask, when you go to the beginning of Sefer Melachim, where did Shlomo Melech get all of these ideas from? The answer is he wasn't being creative. He was simply following the instruction manual that was given. And the fact that it was in writing, the Mepharshim point out, that meant that Shlomo Melech had no right to be able to be creative in any way. It was simply all already dictated. Where did David HaMelech get it from? The Ralbag says he got it from his prophecies and his consulting with the previous prophets. And what is interesting is that the phrase that is used here is Kol Asher Baruach Imoy, everything that was in the spirit with him. What does that mean? Rashi says that this was when Shmuel Hanavi consulted with David in a place called Nayot Barama, in Shmuel Aleph, and in that place, the last meeting between David HaMelech and Shmuel before Shmuel passes away is when Shmuel gives him all this information, and David HaMelech treasured that throughout his kingship and finally wrote it down at this point. The Malbim says, to those who understand Kabbalistic and deep secrets of this world, it doesn't just mean to say that he knew the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but the structure of the Beis HaMikdash is patterned after the structure of the soul, which means to say if David HaMelech understood how the Mikdash worked, he understood the inner workings of the human soul, the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, which meant, if you read these words very carefully, it means Asher Hoya Baruach Imoy, that was in the spirit within him, means to say he understood himself. If he understood how to make the Beis HaMikdash, he understood himself. He understood his own soul, which is a very powerful and very beautiful idea. It's also worthwhile noting that David HaMelech so wanted to build that Beis HaMikdash that essentially he did everything he possibly could barring making that Mikdash up to this point. It's amazing. He gets all the materials. He fights all the wars. He sets up all the Kohanim and the Levim and the Yisraelim and the Oitzros, and everything is set up and the plans. Everything is literally given to Shlomo HaMelech on a silver platter. All Shlomo HaMelech just needs to do is press go. And that's the last two psukim of this perek, Chof and Chof Aleph, in which David HaMelech turns to his son and once again girds him on and says, Chazak ve'ematz, be strong and be strengthened. Similar words we hear about when Yoshua is initiated after being the student of Moshe at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. And he says, don't fear, al tira al techas, because Hashem is going to be with you. He won't abandon you. Everything you will do will be right. And here you have all the machlakos, all the divisions of offices and kohanim and so on. Everyone is ready for your word. Why is this important? He's saying this now. So Rashi says, you have no barriers. You have all the materials. You have the plans. You have the offices. All you need to do is implement it. Shlomo, there's no excuses. I would wonder if this might be precisely the reason why it took 4 years for Shlomo Melech to start building the Beis HaMikdash. As the Baruch Hanel points out in Sefer Melachim, maybe Shlomo Melech was reamassing the materials. Maybe he didn't want to use the materials that David HaMelech had gotten through wars. Maybe he felt that that was still similar to that the sword being waved above the stone made to make the Mizbech, which the Torah tells us at the end of Parashas Yisro, you should not make a Mizbech of hewn stone because the sword is waved above it and you made it impure, empty. So maybe Shlomo Melech didn't want even the gold of David HaMelech. Or maybe in a certain sense he also wanted independence. Maybe he wanted to have some part of the building, not just simply press and go, not simply taking everything David HaMelech had created. He wanted to have an element of it himself, perhaps, as a thought. Yeah. And I also wonder if this last charge to Shlomo HaMelech over here is also an indicator of saying, Shlomo HaMelech, you are underneath the law as well. You too have to submit, and it's conditional. If you decide to follow the Torah, then yes, you will succeed wildly. You'll be protected by God Almighty. However, if you decide to ignore him, he will ignore you too. And that's exactly what happens at the end of Shlomo HaMelech's reign. Sometime he went too far, his trajectory went so far high that Shlomo HaMelech forgot perhaps his station and thought that perhaps he was above the laws of Moses itself. And that perhaps was the failing, which is why David HaMelech is reminding him precisely of that before he begins. With this, we close the perek, and we have one last perek to finish. Sefer Divrei Yamim Aleph. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.